Thank you for your help. Thank you. So we have a period of time of inquiry. As mentioned a little earlier, that if you wish to be here, you're very, very welcome, of course. I appreciate that at 3 o'clock this afternoon, there's the references to the Dana, which Mikhail and I spoke to you. And a couple of hours later, the Dharma talk, and then this evening with the inquiry. So it's very much in the invitational. And if you prefer to be elsewhere, the door is there. You're very welcome. If you feel okay to be here, you're equally very welcome as well. So, just a quick couple of minutes, as previously. There's the invitation to anyone who wishes to come to speak, to take the seat, male or female, with the inquiry session, keeping it strictly to your practices, to your time here, with the variety of questions that may arise. In the morning, teachers will speak to you a little bit more about the daily life situation and practice as the full day event. In the inquiry, remembering as well that there are the two ears and the fullness of the listening outwardly, two people having an engaged communication, and inwardly, what are your responses as you listen. I think we can safely say that human beings, we have a great deal of practice to do in really learning to deeply listen to each other. So much distress and unhappiness and despair is through blockages in the ability to listen. So it's part of our practice here, really listening outwardly and inwardly at the same time. The invitation is to anyone who has not previously been up for an inquiry period. Your areas of experience, perhaps from the talks, previous inquiries, the day itself, all of that and other questions of life are very much part of the grist for the mill, as it is said. So here is the seat. I will, as previously, check with you that it is okay, if it is recorded, and if not, do let me know. And the microphone is there, and keeping it at that speaking distance so that our good friends at the back there can listen without effort, which is the best of listening. So anyone who hasn't been before would like to come, please come take the seat. Yes, well, Asaf, I'd rather leave it for people who have not had the experience. This is one of the teachers, that's why he's moved into touch. Yes, sir. Hey. Is the recording?
No problem. It's more like...
Can you hear over there?
Yeah. It's more insight.
Yes.
That I gained here.
Yes.
If I may.
Yes. Please.
So we all came here, this unique group, in order to gain tools and to help each and every one of us in his own or her dilemma, internally and towards the outer world, family, love, profession, jobs, you name it, and you know. I'm sure that we all gained. And to put it in the most simple way, we are more qualified, we are better person. To be very simple. And then, the question is, what next? What do we do with this? So we all have our own, and you are much younger than me, I think.
I'm much older than you.
Christopher, I'm the only one about 70.
Hi.
So you all have your own problem and visions and that you have to fulfill and to gain and to overcome and to accomplish. But then still, the question is, what next?
For you. For you.
No, I would speak. Mm-hmm. I told you. And you, Christopher, pointed several times our mission towards the world. Mm-hmm. That it's directly linked to what we gained and learned here in this week.
Yes, okay, nice.
And we cannot and we should not avoid it. And Yasmin, what's her name? The girl that, yeah, no.
And Yasmin,
no, no, the young girl by you. She asked 3 days ago. Yes. What can I do, me, I, myself, you know, to these enormous problems that you faced us with, the world problems? And you raise the question, what need to be bridge the gap between the being, me, and the action, and the need, and the task? I think it's still open. I want to suggest my own understanding to the beginning, and then to take it to two circles. I think the gap should be bridged by responsibility. Responsibility and the phrase, second one, that Obama or maybe one of his copywriters wrote, yes, we can. And then to take it into two circles. One belongs to us. It's fine. And maybe you mentioned you were a journalist. Maybe you are not a journalist, but your journalism is still in you. Because you mentioned several times the elections tomorrow. And I want to tell each and every one here, in my own age, and after 53 years that I participate in elections, these coming elections tomorrow are the crucial, the most crucial one this state of Israel ever had, ever will. No one can avoid his participation in this election. For you, for the next generation, for the future of the state of Israel. Without saying anything about politics. No, because it's also on the TV advertisement. Go to vote. Go to vote. No one allowed to avoid his participation in this election. And because this election are the most crucial this state ever had. This is one. Second one is about the world. There is a war in the world. There is treaty, unwritten, between Donald Trump, China, Russia, Israel, the Western world, the big companies, the millions of companies, against the world, against the earth. And it's very important that each of us, you know, will contribute his share. Eating vegetables, which was a wonderful experience here. I never did it before. ride a bicycle, not smoke, use it in his, contribute in his own passive way. But if we say, yes, we can, and taking responsibility, I want to show...
It's a slight sense of a talk rather than a dialogue.
Now, I'll finish in 1 minute. Now, if I'm done, right. I can't say dialogue, go away. Continue, say
you said 1 minute.
1 minute. We can be part of the movement on this young Swedish girl, 12 and a half years old. She formed a movement that can save the world. This is an example. She can be more important than Buddha, Churchill, and Moses together in the state where we are. So we must find a way to help her proactively. Thank you.
Thank you. So we'll have a quiet minute together and then we'll thank you. Yes, anyone, anytime? Yes, yeah, please, yes. Yeah.
It's actually the same.
With the recording, is it okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, okay.
It's the second time I sit here with Christopher. First time
mm-hmm.
was there, maybe 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I have a habit, and it's got to do with the talk you gave today.
Yes.
And the text we read together
mm-hmm.
About harm and thought.
Mm-hmm.
Well, every time I sit here, it's a, how do you say, a heart?
Heartbeat, heartbeat. Yes. Mm-hmm.
The whole retreat, after dealing with...
So they can't hear at the back.
Can you hear me? I'll start singing when I have the microphone. Can you hear me now? And the whole retreat...
Yes.
After dealing with the issue I came with from home,
mm-hmm.
I had the same record. Maybe it have 7 tracks on it,
mm-hmm.
but it's the same record.
Mm.
And it's jumping from a person to person.
Yes.
But the same thing, it's about people doing me wrong.
Okay.
Like he did me wrong, and he did me wrong, and she did me wrong.
Okay.
Treating me not as I think people should treat me.
Mm.
And it can be people from my everyday life, mm-hmm. you know, now. And if when I deal with them and I finish putting wood to the fire then, it goes to maybe 25 years ago in the army. Someone told me something and I still have this conversation with him.
Mm.
And if not him, my wife,
mm-hmm.
Mary the Lord.
So let me get it clear. So during the days of the retreat here, there would be remembering various people who were expressing blame or criticism or fault towards you.
My story, they did me wrong, and I'm angry about them. And not only that I'm angry and I'm right.
All right, so sorry. So the story, as you point out, is that the mind has anger in it, there are thoughts in it, and the self, in the combination of the way of the thinking, common enough, and the anger, and the self-righteousness, I am right, all in that package together.
With feeling right and a victim, and I'm really doing my best the whole week to deal with it.
Yes.
How do you say in English, Mashu Yesudi, from the text, from something the primal?
Fundamental.
Fundamental, yeah. The text say, yes. Put your mind in something like primal, so I concentrate on my breath, or on the teacher, on the sangha, my good qualities. I have from the sutras of the yoga, they say there that if you have this thought, try to develop the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like think happy thoughts. The opposite is actually when you, they say, because there's something that my being like and love to be angry and right about someone doing me wrong. And this one I'm trying to change because I'm trying to look at this and have
okay. Slowly, because the words are fast. So in the view and the perception there, as you mentioned, the story of anger with others because of what they have said or did, there is the self-righteous thought, and then some knowledge or memory has entered into it, and this is either in some teachings, the classical application of the opponent force. There's the force of anger, and there's applying the application.
What do you mean?
Application means there is anger. One can work to dissolve the anger, or and try to make a shift over, let's say, to friendship or to loving kindness. This would be to apply the opposite.
No, what I mean to apply the opposite, the same, there is a sentence, they say like the Brahman is acting like a dog.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the words here. Slowly.
There is a sentence in, okay, it goes like this. When you sit and meditate and I have this thought about harming people who did me harm, I'm acting, if you tell me, listen, Yuval, I really want to hurt someone that did me wrong.
Mm.
I say, no, man, this is not the way to act. But then I'm jumping on it, you know, when it's someone who did me wrong.
Yes.
I know it's not the way to act.
Okay.
And I have actually discussed from all this way of behavior.
Sorry. Very fast. It's much, much more slow. You go deeper that way. So in the relationship, one says, I know this is not the way to act. Just showing the same as the other person means you are a clone of the other person. So, so while recognizing and acknowledging this is not the way to act, but that statement, though important and though valuable, may not have the power in it to stop the act.
And after the whole week of going from this person to this person to this person, and then back and again, I'm tired enough that I'm ready to pick the hot coal and drop it.
Yes, all right.
But I don't really know how. I know it's a habit. I'm trying to figure out a way to, but yeah.
All right, so
I went to the dishes today. That's what I found out doing.
All right. Whatever. So the question is, where there is a gap, there is the sense of the other and oneself, and there is a gap. And the anger and the self-righteousness and I am right kind of keeps going across.
Victimization.
Self-pity, victimization, and so on and so forth. Has there been any moments of softness and kindness for you over the days?
For myself?
For yourself, for others, here, elsewhere. Have you experienced any change of...
Yeah, when here, it stopped restricting.
With?
Here?
Yeah.
When I felt that it's not restricted?
Yeah.
It was
when there was not the restriction here, there, what were the feelings and the thoughts that were emerging towards the people that you were angry with? When this was less restrictive?
I wasn't thinking about them. The truth, I'll be honest, the only, like with some of them, I could stop thinking about them by writing the message of fuck you, I'm going to send them, and then it left me.
Mm-hmm.
And with others, I don't know, I can't stop the report.
No. So the repetition goes through, and so is that a way of saying that it was strong enough over the days that there was no softening at any time towards the other people?
No, I couldn't find thought about revenge and thought about like even close people, like cutting them off, you know, putting the delete button.
Yes.
Delete, and then I don't need to deal with it anymore. But I couldn't find a place to.
No.
Even when I see that my behavior hurt them and that's why they hurt me, and even if I can be accountable and take the responsibility in the story,
yes,
I see it and then again it comes back again to the same cycle, and I see it again and I say okay, and again and again.
Yeah.
And habit.
Yeah, absolutely, habit. What is it that you and the others share and have in common? Anything come to you?
One of them sued me.
I'm sorry, one of them is?
One of them sued me.
Sued you?
Yeah, what do we have in common? Some of them are, okay, some of them are my friends.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing, you know, it's the feeling of feeling this person did me wrong. And again, it doesn't matter because I had retreats when the same thought really made my life miserable, and now I don't even think about these people anymore.
You know? No.
And now, yeah, it's the people here, but if it's not them, it's someone else.
Mm.
And again, if it's not them, I'll go to my wife, and so, I have a 5-year-old girl, I can find what she did me wrong.
So this pattern seems to land on the important people in your life.
People that make important.
Yeah, as well as strangers and so-called friends.
People that I know, all of them are people that were part of my life.
Yeah.
That I expected them to treat me different or something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe expectations for them, that's the thing?
Maybe. In the relationship, I've got your wife and daughter, child in mind, as well as others. Would it be possible for you to ensure that the thoughts may be running around in your mind, but they're not coming out of your mouth?
That I didn't speak my mind?
Exactly.
That's why it's hitting me?
So, no, I'm sure you're definitely speaking your mind. You're actually speaking the mind. But I'm just wondering on the harmful impact on your wife, your daughter, and other people, and whether it might be more appropriate, if you need to have some release, to go outside, to go into the nature and express the rage and the anger that you have, and ensure that when you are in communication with these important people in your life, you're respectful. So instead of dumping it on them in the way that...
I'm not sure, Christopher, I'm dumping them on them. I think mostly it's what I can tell you with my family, that I'm not there enough because I'm in my head talking to people who are not there.
Yeah, but family will know that there is some unresolved problematic negativity with you. It may not be said directly to the family members, but they live with you. It's very easy to pick up if a person's angry. So it may not be displaced, but according to you, it does go there.
Yeah.
So it's not like they are protected from it. They are also there. So they need some...
And me also. It's really
and I appreciate, and that's why you're speaking. So one... It will need some good cooperation with somebody who is skilled in the daily life to work with the anger, who can meet you can meet with regularly, and look at and see what changes can be made. Secondly, the pressure builds up, it builds the contraction. I think it's tragic to dump it on anybody, including yourself or anywhere else. And therefore that step would be to go and have some release, some cathartic releasing somewhere else, away from people there. And to breathe, pardon me, to breathe in well and deeply so that you can return home to others. And the voice would need to be slower, a lot slower, because you speak very fast, much more gently in the tone there, and some release, a one-to-one with a skilled therapist, and checking if you're interrupting or speaking fast. If you put all of those three together, you can get out of this pattern that you have.
You're sending me to therapy.
I'm sending you to, I'm strongly encouraging it. I think it would be very, very valuable. And the regularity of that with some good practices, hopefully offered by the therapist, so it's not just talking about. And that combination with some releasing, with a real quiet change in the voice, that the words are much slower, it's easier to hear, they are coming from a softer place rather than here, and to bring in more words of kindness. It may sound a little artificial because you're used to the negative aggression, but the change gradually, with good counsel, with open spaces, and you can put an end to this pattern. Without any of those three, I think you'll be stuck.
And you think that this will help me sit quietly without, or sit without this thought?
Yes.
Being so dominant in my consciousness?
Yes. Yes.
I'll check out in 12 minutes.
Good spirit. All right, thank you. Anyone, please, and the other gender. The two men first, the other gender. Yes, please, Kim. With the recording?
Yes, why not?
Why not?
I have a few questions, if that's okay.
It's like pages of
no. Just 259 questions. No, actually, just
go on,
maybe three.
Three.
But they're more like you can circle the correct answer kind of questions.
Sweet. Go on.
And it's all about meditation. I guess it's kind of technical, but
Yeah, go on. Yeah.
I want to investigate. Explore, whatever. So, is meditation about releasing herzut?
Attachment.
Yes, attachment. Or is it about control? Because, and I will explain why I'm asking.
Good question.
When I try to meditate, I actually try to control my mind by releasing, right? I try to not think and not give the flow of the mind just flow,
mm-hmm.
right? Or not. Have I been doing this wrong
for the entire week? No. So I'll just give a short response. It may connect with the good question. If it doesn't, then of course do let me know that. Meditation genuinely is a very vast field of exploration. You've touched on two important points, and there could be another 50 or 100 very easy. So these are two. So the very process of the meditation, of course, is to be mindful, conscious, present to what is unfolding there, and in that, as much as possible, in a mindful and relaxed way, allowing and enabling that which arises to pass and to be clear and calm with it, with a view towards the insights and the understanding that can come. Mm-hmm. It is not about control. It is not a practice of control. Control in the way that I would define it. That means trying to hold something, control it, and not allow something else.
Right.
You know, you could just take it, the good man mentioned like politics. So there are systems of political thought which is very much a control. It has to be this, and refuse to allow that. Mm-hmm. That is control. Mm-hmm. And here, from the personal standpoint, so to speak, control and fear easily go together, like two sides of the coin. So sometimes we're trying to control things. We are putting pressure on ourselves, trying to control, putting pressure. And that control may work for a period. But in due course, from that control, there will be a tightness, there's a contraction, and there will be a reaction.
But, yes, go thank on. You. But when you say that we try to control something and then we lose grip, isn't that kind of what happens?
I'm sorry, I missed that. When
we try to control something,
yes.
it's an illusion because we lose grip at yes. some point, right? Mm. And isn't that kind of what happens when we meditate?
When I meditate.
When I meditate,
go on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
When I meditate, yes. I concentrate on breathing, and then
yes.
I could feel this clearness,
yes.
I guess.
Yes, lovely.
But then thoughts would come back,
yeah.
And I lose grip, actually. Do you know what I mean?
I get a sense, so it's rather subtle here. So it can be the mindfulness of the breathing going on. It doesn't mean to say in that period of time that it is control, because if it was control, it would be suppression and rejection of thinking. One could be mindful of breathing without control, relaxed presence, and that also can allow for some flow of thoughts, as you just described, and in a relaxed way, not in a controlling way. And we can still return to the breath, recognize and see that a thought is just a thought. We're not feeding it. It's just like leaves blowing in the wind, while our primary interest is with the breath, and some thoughts are passing through. Mm-hmm. And that relaxed relationship will organically allow the being to go deeper. Thoughts don't get in the way, they are not a problem in themselves, and therefore it's not necessary to try and control the thinking.
Thank you. Next question. I'm translating.
Yeah.
Is meditation about staying and connecting to the body?
Mm-hmm.
Or connecting to the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I think about, when I breathe and when I'm mindful to my breathing,
yes.
I feel my body,
yeah,
I relax it.
Of course.
But my agenda or my want, I don't know,
whatever,
is to be clear, to get some clarity in my mind, right?
Yes.
So is it about the body or the mind, I guess?
It's about both equally and a lot more. So again, meditation process, not really able for any of us to kind of fit it into the box. So in other words, there may be a priority, as we did in our week-long here. We gave plenty of attention the first day or two, actually, the first 2 days, to the experience of breathing and, as you said, being with the body. Just really feel, not the image, as said many times now, but the experience of being with the body. Sensations, vibrations, aches, pains, comfort, warmth, shape of the body, etc. Really just with the body the way it is, not with all the picture stories that we have about it there. With the calming, just settling in. And some people are very, very restless on the first day or two, it's on their first retreat, find rather pleasingly, not everybody, that in the settling into the process, found both sitting, walking, standing, etc., that there was actually much less movement going on. There was more relaxation. It wasn't about control. It was a sense of just settling in to just being, just walking, just standing without the control there. And we then turn the attention to the feeling life with all the encouragement to experience the heart and mind. And this included in that the same relationship to the body is actually to the mind, formations, movements, activities, just letting all of that relax more easily. And therefore the mind is equally important. That mind means feelings and thoughts and views and opinions and contractions and ideas and all that, relaxing all of that, letting the whole being settle. And that, in the settling down of all the mind, in the settling down of all of that, there is a closer access to the feeling life. Some of that access reveals itself in the happiness we'd spoke about, happiness of being here, happiness of being alive, happiness of being the company of beautiful people, the quiet joys of the day. So they're both heart, mind and body, really in these teachings have an equal place. Is that question two over with?
Sorry?
Is that question number two finished with?
I guess if you say so.
All right, good. I say so.
I have a big one, but
I'm not sure. Go on.
Yeah. Okay. So, how do I trust?
Why would you put that in the big category?
You don't think it's a big one?
No.
Well, for me,
carry on. You ask me, I know. But
I ask you, but
for yourself, say a little bit about trust. What when you listen, feel inside. These words are rather precious. What is trust? What is a human being's relationship to trust? What's your response? Go slowly. No quick words.
Thank you.
All right.
Well, I guess it's...
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yes.
No guessing.
Right. I know.
All right, better. Easier for the ear.
Maybe it's about...
No maybes. That's back to the guesswork.
Because I have a few thoughts about trust.
Go on, I'm curious.
Do I give it until proven otherwise? Do I trust someone until I'm proven otherwise? Or do I trust someone only after, how do I say that? I don't know. How do you trust? I mean, it's supposedly natural.
Who said that? Who said supposedly?
I don't know. Because,
no, go on, carry on. Go on.
No, because because it's so basic, you know.
That's true.
It's the beginning of things.
That's true.
You can't love without trust, and love is everything. So.
Go on.
So. I started thinking about it because yesterday was Sarah's she like lesson, is it a lesson?
When?
Was it talk?
When?
Sorry? When?
When?
Oh.
Dharma program, meta.
Thank you. So she talked about trusting the pain as a compass, right? And And there were moments this week that I sat here and I thought, I'm doing nothing. Like, this is, what I'm doing is just sitting in a room on the floor and breathing, as I do in many other places, many other times. And then yesterday made me think that, and also before that, I have to trust this. I have to trust myself. I have to trust what's happening to me, without knowing if I'm right, if it's right for me.
Yes.
That's the end.
All right. But if I speak a little bit about the first aspect of what you said, and then a few words from me on the trust there. Really appreciate your recognition and acknowledgement that trust is something kind of primal, it's fundamental, it is deep. It's so primal and fundamental and deep, should we place the trust on the other, who may not be prime, fundamental and deep? Why would we give trust to where it could easily get lost? And that, therefore, it changes the dynamic of the relationship. Because if the trust is put in the other and she or he lets us down, what's going to happen to the trust? Mm-hmm. It's going to disappear, isn't it? And there is a loss of trust. Mm-hmm. So there is a loss of something really fundamental.
Yes.
Which is tragic. Can there be a trust in relationship to others, or ourselves, but in this case, relationship to others, in which there is no chance of any loss of it as a fundamental?
Again, I'm sorry.
I know. Awkward questions.
No, it's...
So we'll go again.
Simplify it maybe.
Right. Can there be a trust which is directed to the other, and there is no possibility that trust, which is fundamental, can be lost regardless of the behavior of the other? Can there be a trust which cannot be lost regardless of the behavior of the other? Any experience, not theory?
I don't think I have experienced that.
All right.
Because I think that the way I learned trust was through my parents, first of all, right?
That's it. Mm. Very risky.
I know. Go on. No, because they're they are responsible for. They were responsible for me when I was a child, right? When I was born, and they raised me. They tried. They raised me.
All right.
So,
The psychology of your personal life is boring. What's far more important is coming back to the question, what would be a trust which others, or oneself, I say, are given this trust, you know, and there is this trust in the other, but it is not dependent on the other that the trust, so basic, so fundamental, could get lost. What kind of trust would that be? It's not dependent on the other, yet it looks like it's given to the other.
I don't know. Would it be trusting oneself?
No,
or
not
faith
a chance.
Or?
No, because it's nothing to do with self and other. We know enough trusting ourselves. Hey?
Yeah.
Got a high risk strategy. What is a trust? Fundamental, as it were, relating to self, as it were, relating to another, which is kind of pretty well, very steady, almost to the point of being unshakable. Not completely unshakable, but really, really, really does one see a break in it. Really, really.
No idea.
All right, fair enough. Would it be worthwhile in the daily life resting with this? Resting, just, is there a trust? You said it yourself, others were agreeing, in their, you know, nodding. It's very steady, something deep, important, kind of fundamental. They're really precious in life. It would be a pity, as it were, for splits and cracks and earthquakes in it, because we've put it on that another or ourself, which is kind of unreliable. And therefore, oh, I lost my trust. Oh, terrible loss.
Is that a question? I'm not even sure.
It's an invitation, not a question in this case. So the question is, for yourself, today, tomorrow, however long is needed, can there be a knowing of a trust which is not dependent on the movement of mind, called here, called there? That would surely be worth taking a deep interest in, wouldn't it? Eh?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Are we done?
Yes, we are.
All right. Lovely. Thank you so
Thank
much
you.
For coming. So, one more person, and one more person with a good gender balance. Gender balance is important here. But apologies, but you've already came. Any woman who would like to come and take the seat who this evening hasn't? Unless you just change your sex. Yes, please.
Yeah, I don't have a question, but I have a song that I, a poem that I wrote.
Tomorrow.
It bothered me more yesterday, but it's still a riddle for me. Okay.
Is the recording okay with you?
I don't know where it will lead, so I'd rather not.
Okay.
If it's okay with you.
No problem. Okay, blinking through that.